You have downloaded the ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast.
What to watch for.
He can attack the goal from all different angles, whether it's an alley dodge righty, a split to his left. He can invert. He can pass. They protect the paint. They pack it in as good as anyone in the nation. He fills the goal up. Ground balls will determine possessions and ultimately the winner of this game.
Sounds very simple, and it is.
The ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to part two of the quarterfinal edition. It's ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast. I'm Cliff Kesnick. We're going to be focused in this podcast on the Sunday matchups. We've got North Carolina and Denver, and then we've got Duke and Notre Dame. Two great matchups, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis. You can watch them on ESPNU on Sunday afternoon. Let's start things off with our first guest.
Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, noon, North Carolina and Denver. We welcome in Tar Heels head coach Joe Bresci. It's a Tuesday. You got practice in the afternoon. The summer school started now already. Hard to believe, coach. Coach, as you get set to attack this week, I want to look forward. What are some of the most important things that you'll be trying to get done in terms of mindset and tactics as this week evolves?
Well, I think the most important thing, Quinn, is we were fortunate enough to scrimmage Denver. I know both teams are much different than we were back in late January. And really trying to take a look at their strengths offensively, how good they are at the face-off acts. We're going to be focusing on that and the wing play and so forth. And what they're doing defensively. They have a tremendous amount of packages that they throw at teams and, so all the things that they're doing, but really most importantly for us is to continue to focus on the details of how we got to where we are right now. And that's really paying attention to the little things and the details. Coach Myers does a terrific job offensively, for us and is really, has this group playing on all cylinders and playing fast. And I think that's put a lot of pressure on defenses. So, we're going to focus on ourselves a lot, but obviously we've got to prepare for a terrific team and obviously Coach Tierney's, the best in the business. So we're going to do our best to prepare for them, but also really focus on ourselves.
Wednesday, March 14th, Paul Carcaterra and myself spent the morning with your assistants watching tape in your facility, which is unbelievable. Those kids have no idea how lucky they are. You play the first half of that ball game. You didn't play well. You go into halftime down against Duke. You end up losing that game, but in the second half you played much better. Since then, since that halftime, you guys have been a different team. What happened at halftime of that game that's now got this program going in a direction of a national championship?
Well, I'd like to say it was the halftime speech, but I'm not sure that was the case. I think we felt as a team and as a program that, we're in a good spot. The guys are playing hard. They're working hard for each other. They're paying attention to the little things that Coach Fipes does defensively. He's really done a terrific job this year of working on our guys' approaches and the details of slides and recoveries and so forth. And Coach Holman with our young freshman goalie, Kieran Burke, has just been fantastic. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on a young man to come in and make an impact and be a starter. He started out 3-3 on the year, and he's just gotten better, more consistent, more of a leader at the defensive end. RG got healthy at the faceoff X, and we've developed a couple other guys as well down there. And the offense found the rhythm. So I'm not sure if it was one thing in particular, but I think a bunch of things that, the guys they believe in each other and they play for each other and they play hard. And I think that's an exciting thing for us to see as, last 2 months have passed.
You know what pressure is, Coach? Pressure is going into an accounting exam, needing a B to stay academically eligible. That's pressure.
Well, now that school's over for us and the guys have graduated, we started summer school. Just a couple guys are in summer school right now trying to get ahead in their credits. So most of them are professional lacrosse players.
Yeah, Coach, last thing on Denver, I watched their game the other day, just scary in terms of what they can do offensively. Are there similarities in their patterns to what you saw maybe earlier in the year from Princeton?
There are. I mean, they're a free-flowing offense. They have a lot of sets, picks on the ball, off the ball, mumbos, flips. They run a ton of different things, and Coach Brown does a terrific job with their offense, and they always have, and they scored 16 goals on us last year, and you know, they did a terrific job of gaining possession. They're number one in the nation in offensive efficiency. You know, they know how to shoot the ball. I mean, they're great goal scorers, and I think they don't take a good shot. They look for the great shot, and I think you know, we got to be patient defensively and really work hard and work together. I mean, Eric Law is running the show on attack. Westberg's playing attack in midfield, and obviously Cameron Flint is you know, lethal up top as well. So they got a ton of guys that they're playing, and you know, for us, it's just playing together, playing as a team, helping each other, and forcing outside shots.
Greg McBride, Walker Chafee, R.G. Keenan, Steve Pontrello, Spencer Parks. Not your everyday guys that I'm going to see in your box score. Coach, that was unbelievable last week with the amount of contributions. What's it like after a game like that when you look in their locker room and, you know, every guy had a part in the win?
Well, that's what it's been for the last 2 months, really. It's, you know, when you can look at your last two games that you've won, and I think we've scored 30, you know, close to 35 goals or so in the last two games. And Sankey has one goal and Holman has one goal. Now they both have assists, but, you know, only two of those goals came from those two guys and all these other guys are scoring. I think, you know, that's a credit to Coach Myers and what he's done at the offensive end to really put our group where it doesn't matter who's scoring, but we're still getting that same type of production week in and week out.
Last thing, Coach, Sunday game, Lucas Oil Stadium, kind of an unknown venue for everybody involved. How do you approach that?
You know, we've had some big road games. We're flying out, which is great. You know, we've been in different venues, some larger type venues. We haven't played indoors yet, so we're going to go out there and you know, just do what we do. We're not going to change anything from our preparation, from what we do the night before with our team meals and the morning of. We're going to get a chance on Saturday to have a run through for about an hour and 15 minutes, which would be great to get used to kind of your surroundings a little bit and in preparation for Sunday. But, you know, I think these guys, for all the teams really going into, you know, you're one of eight teams left. So I think the emotion's going to be high. They're going to be excited and, you know, they know that, there's only going to be one happy team in the end, and that's on Memorial Day.
Coach, appreciate your time. Good luck at practice this afternoon. Have a great week. Safe travel, and we'll see you Sunday. It's a first game, North Carolina and Denver. Should be a great one.
Thanks, Quinn. Appreciate you having me.
Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, North Carolina and Denver. It's the first game at noon. We welcome in Denver assistant coach Matt Brown, offensive coordinator. Matt, welcome. Congratulations on the regular season and your playoff win against Albany. When you look back at that Albany game, what was most satisfying as an offensive coordinator?
Well, I think when if you were a first-time spectator of lacrosse and you've never seen the game being played before, I think you got hooked to it, you know, immediately. You know, it was pretty special. Not so much during the game, but after stepping back and getting a chance to rewatch the game on TV and watch the Thompson Trio, you know, do their thing. You know, they play the game the way the game of lacrosse should be played. And, from our standpoint, you know, our boys are firing on all cylinders. You know, they let the ball do the work. They were very unselfish. We had good ball movement. We had good people movement, and you know, just really happy with the compete level of our young men.
How do you balance, you know, getting the guys to do what you want to do with making sure guys are still able to freelance and make plays? You know, how do you kind of balance the X's and O's with being a lacrosse player?
Well, I think that's the whole key. You know, I try to coach our guys the way that I'd like to play the game. And, you know, we constantly work on skills. You know, it's an ongoing thing and probably be the biggest skill set of them all is decision making. And so we stress to our guys when they first come to campus in September that, you know, if we can accomplish anything at all is that we're going to make you a smarter lacrosse player come May. And, you know, so we give them stuff, we give them motion, we have set pieces, but at the same time, you know, we brought in some players here to the University of Denver to allow them to play the game the way the game should be played. And, you know, prime example is Wesley Berg having the night that he did this past Saturday.
When I look back at your season, there has been some injury issues along the way where the lineup and the guys contributing have kind of changed a bit. Eric Law has been a consistent, though. It seems like from day one he's been rock solid down low there. How would you best describe what he's been able to do now as a senior?
He's our quarterback. You know, he's the coach on the field. He understands everything that we're trying to accomplish. You know, he communicates and relays messages to everybody on the field. And, you know, he's kind of the backbone of our offense. You know, without him, this thing doesn't really roll. And, you know, we've had different teams try to do different adjustments on him, push out on him, shut him off, you know, not slide to him early. And, you know, he's just a really smart lacrosse player that knows how to figure out and play the game within the game. So, Eric's been, in my opinion, the most important piece to our offense.
Wesley Berg had the big night. 8 goals the other day, British Columbia native, still only a sophomore, major numbers last year and this year. Coach, where do you see the most kind of development or improvement in his game from, let's say, as a freshman to what you're seeing right now?
Well, what I really like what Wesley did the other night is he kind of let the game come to him. You know, even though he had 8 goals, and I think he was 8 for 12 for shooting, but, you know, he didn't really force the issue too much. You know, he didn't have too many turnovers. He had a couple other opportunities where I thought the Albany goalie made a couple nice saves on him, so he probably could have had a few more. But he's letting the game come to him. You know, he's letting the ball do the work. He's not grabbing it and trying to, you know, do it all himself. And so I've seen that, and that comes with maturity. You know, it comes with having a whole year of lacrosse, you know, under your belt, you know, playing in the NCAA tournament last year. And, you know, he was with us this summer over in Finland with Team Canada. And he's really blossomed into a mature lacrosse player and, was excellent this past Saturday. And he's been real good for us during this whole stretch.
Matt, as an offensive coordinator, just in general terms, when you break down an opposing defense on tape, what are the keys you're looking for? Slides, where it's coming from, what their slide mentality is, and how they play picks? Would those be two of the bigger things?
Those are two of the bigger picture things. You know, I think one thing that I kind of got from playing in the MLL for a few years there was, also, you know, watching individuals, you know, watching, trying to pick up habits of how they pick up the ball. What's their approach like? Where's their stick positioning? How do they recover? What do they do off ball? Is there certain things that we could implement into our offensive schemes that can exploit those? And so you look at the big picture things, obviously, you know, are they sliding early? Are they not sliding at all? Are they playing zone? And, you know, we've seen all of that throughout the course of this past season, but then you kind of go into more detail with each individual, and you know, our guys are really starting to figure it out. You know, they're starting to recognize that in game of little adjustments they can make within the motion within our offense to generate some opportunity.
Last thing, Coach, from a mindset standpoint, when you guys take to the road this weekend, what do you hope your players, you know, you've played in a ton of big games, what do you hope the mindset of your offensive players are, you know, late in this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, before face-off?
Well, you know, like I told them last week, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. You know, have excitement. Be excited about this opportunity to play a great lacrosse team. You know, let's face it, we're going up against probably the hottest team in college lacrosse right now. You know, you've got North Carolina has done a fantastic job. They're firing on all cylinders, but you know, that's why you play Division I lacrosse. You know, that's why, you know, that's why you've come and we've gone through this whole journey, and we battle every single day in practice is to get these type of experiences. It's going to be a great lacrosse game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's just make sure we enjoy the moment.
Matt, my favorite set play of the whole year, I'm just going to leave you with this, was before halftime of that Notre Dame game. When you set that up screen, you threw it down to the righty, and because they switched on the pick, that guy had leverage, and he cut the near post for an easy layup goal with a short clock. That was an unbelievable play. You deserve a lot of credit for that one.
Well, I always say great players make coaches look good. And so, you know, you have Jeremy Noble, Cam Flint, Eric Long, Wesley Bird on the field, along with, you know, Eric Adamson. You got a good group of kids out there, and so they definitely did execute that to perfection.
Coach, continued success. Appreciate your time today, and we'll see you out in Indianapolis.
Great. Thanks, Clint.
ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast, our focus of the Sunday games, Lucas Oil Stadium, North Carolina, Denver, Duke and Notre Dame, Action starts at noon. We're joined by Terry Foy of Inside Lacrosse. Terry, what's the significance of playing this quarterfinal round in Indianapolis?
Well, I think that, you know, for one, you get to expose really high-level lacrosse to a new audience. And, you know, whether it's folks from Indianapolis, you know, proper, or, you know, really within anywhere in a four-hour, five-hour driving range, whether that be Columbus, Cincinnati, Chicago, even St. Louis, I think that there are a lot of fans that haven't had an opportunity to make it to the Final Four or a quarterfinal in years past that might be able to take an opportunity to come to this game. And then the other thing, too, is that, you know, one of the reasons this game is being played in Indianapolis is because of its proximity to the NCAA headquarters. There are a lot of people involved at the NCAA who I think will attend this game, and for a lot of them, I think it'll be their first time seeing lacrosse up close and personal like this. Lacrosse has had so much positive momentum in the NCAA over the last 4 and 5 years that this could be something that hopefully will have positive results. It'll be an exciting product on the field. You know, they'll see the energy in the crowd and the environment surrounding it, like all of us are familiar with, having gone to Final Fours for years and years and years. And they'll realize that further investment will help to benefit not just the sport of lacrosse, but also the NCAA as an organization.
North Carolina-Denver is the first game. It's a terrific, terrific offensive showcase. It's two teams played in the NCAA tournament last year. It was one of the best games of last year's tournament. Denver won at Fetzer Field. What are the biggest issues here? Well, both teams have significant issues in terms of defending their opponent. With that said, what do you think can be the difference maker?
Well, I think that you're right. You know, either team's offense is going to have an edge over their matchup defensively. And as a result, I think it's going to be a pretty simple formula. And I got to thank Ryan Flanagan, who I talked to on my podcast earlier this week, for kind of opening my eyes to how significant this will be. The answer is who has more possession. And the likelihood that dictates that answer is where does the faceoff advantage shake out? Last year, Chase Carrera was able to win 22 of 30 faceoffs and won and picked up 17 ground balls, an enormous percentage of ground balls won to himself. Carolina tried R.G. Keenan, who struggled, Frankie Kelly, who struggled, and this year when either of those guys have struggled, they've run out Brent Armstrong as well to take a couple of faceoffs. And I think that, you know, one of the things that's interesting to watch is that Chase Carrera is a much different faceoff guy from what he was last year because of his knee injury. He's gone to a knee-down stance, which really does change what your goals are as far as your faceoff play. And also, with Jeremy Noble missing a lot of time this year, he's done some things differently in terms of winning to his wings. And I think, you know, one of the things that you need to look out for is that R.G. Keenan has struggled in some of his matchups, and it might be coincidental. Brendan Fowler is also a knee-down face-off guy, and he really struggled in two meetings against Brendan Fowler. Could be one of the things that, you know, could ultimately have a very subtle but dramatic impact on this game.
R.G. Keenan wants to pinch and pop, plunger technique. He wants to go out the front side. I think if you can frustrate him and make him clamp and rake and create 50-50 battles and don't let him get rhythm, we've seen him struggle. The other thing in this game, you talk about possessions. I worry about Denver's clearing. I don't think their long poles down low, close defense, are talented ball handlers. Last year, they turned the ball over quite frequently in that game, the close defense. I worry about them clearing the ball against Carolina's ride.
Well, and not only that, but Carolina's ride obviously is one of the hallmarks of that team. And I think that, you know, when it comes down to creating second chance opportunities and also setting tempo and creating emotion, what they get out of Sankey, veteran Holman, is so substantial. And, you know, it gets a lot of their other scorers involved, too. When they're getting easy goals, I've almost always had the sense that when Carolina's scoring off the ride, their attackmen are a little bit freer to give the ball back to the midfielders when they get it in a 6-on-6 settled possession. And as a result, you get a guy like Chad Sutton putting into, and I think that's part of what we saw against Lehigh last weekend.
Game two is Duke at Notre Dame. If you watched Notre Dame last week, you know, well documented how their offense continues to struggle, especially from the midfield. Matt Cavanaugh was their only savior. They switched to the 10-man ride and beat Detroit. But you go back three games, two against Cuse and the game against Detroit, and this is an offense that's really struggling. Now, Duke's defense at times is not really buttoned up. Their slides and their recoveries may be what the doctor ordered for Notre Dame. It's certainly a better matchup than Loyola would have been. What do you see as key factors here, Terry?
Well, I mean, in this particular matchup, it's something that I can't ignore the recent history of this series. And basically, it's that since, you know, 2009, 2010, the pattern has been that Notre Dame beats Duke in the regular season and Duke beats them in the playoffs. And, you know, obviously both teams are kind of trending in opposite directions, so it's almost easy to say that right now. But there are some things about this, like you mentioned, that strike out to me as being, you know, heavily in Duke's favor. One of the things that I saw in their matchup against Loyola was the variety in which the variety of scoring that Duke was able to get. And guys like Case Mathias and Miles Jones making contributions were the types of things that Duke just wasn't getting early in the season. I went to this first matchup in Durham, and yes, you know, there are aspects of this that, you know, were out of, you know, just not to be controlled. For instance, the fact that it was snowing in Durham in February. That's a big deal. And the second, you know, aspect of that was that it was Notre Dame's first game, so Duke wasn't able to be prepared for them. The third thing, Duke, not very good in February ever. All of that being said, this is a different Duke team because of what they're able to get offensively from guys that are going to be 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th on your scoring chart. So, you know, that's going to be one thing I'm going to be watching.
But the challenge for Duke's offense this week, totally different from what they faced last week. Loyola is a no-slide team. Miles Jones is not going to be able to post his man up and butt dodge and back in and rocker step. Without the threat of a double team. If he tries that against this Notre Dame defense, the ball will be on the carpet so fast and it'll be a turnover. So the challenge is totally different offensively. And because of that, I don't see him having an impact. I think a guy like Jake Trapiuka and Offit, I think those guys are going to be keys because you got to draw double teams against Notre Dame and move the ball. And Duke, you know, comes down to Jordan Wolf also, because I think Notre Dame's defense has shown a vulnerability late in the year. You attack them from behind and jam the ball inside.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, about that I think is so interesting is, you know, Duke, I think, they got 5 goals out of 41 shots out of 4 offensive players. It was Trapiuka, Offit, Wolf, and now I'm blanking. It definitely wasn't
Dawson.
It was
Dawson?
Yeah, I think so. Crazy amount of production from not only their midfield in terms of the number of shots they were taking, but also, you know, just really poor production in terms of their shooting. I think that they need to be better in that regard against Notre Dame.
What can fans look forward to in terms of Sunday coverage?
Well, Casey Vock's going to be out in Indianapolis, and he's going to be really riding. He's one of the best on-scene guys in terms of providing you color outside of the field and giving you really hardcore analysis and insight from what's going on the field. So make sure to check InsideLacrosse.com for Casey's look into Indianapolis all weekend or all day on Sunday.
I'm excited. I have no expectations, so let's see what we get. We're heading to Indy.
Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, Duke and Notre Dame at 2:30. We welcome in Kyle Turi, Duke goalie. Kyle, I want to flash back real quick to last weekend's first-round win over Loyola. Quite a game, a really fun game to watch. What was it like to play in that game?
It was just very exciting. Very emotional game. We were down a couple times and felt like the ball wasn't bouncing our way, but somehow we found a way to get it done. It was just more exciting than anything.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in that ball game late, as you know, the you guys cut back into the margin, close game, and then overtime. What kind of self talk or like what's going through your mind in you know, late in a close game like that?
Just to play our way. You can't really change anything about how you do it late in the game. You just got to play your game. And like defensively, I think we did that and were able to be successful at the end.
Notre Dame and Duke met earlier this season in Durham in February, snowy day. What's your main recollection of the regular season game between these two teams?
I just remember we got down a bit early and were never really able to fight back, and we definitely weren't ourselves that day, and I think we're definitely a different team.
Why is that?
I feel like we just have an identity now, offensively and defensively. Offensively, you could tell we were just not clicking, and I think we feel more comfortable with each other. And defensively, we're definitely a much more aggressive team.
What do you know about this venue? How will you? It's sport grass indoors. I guess they're going to have the roof. The roof will be closed. Will you look into this venue at all, or you'll be satisfied with just getting your shoot around the day before the game?
I might look on the internet a bit just to see what it's like, but during the shoot around, I'll get some shots and see what it's like. I've never played in a dome before, so that should be really cool.
Did you play against Matt Kavanaugh in high school at all, Kyle?
Yeah, I played twice. We play Chaminade each year. And I think we played. He played both his junior and senior year.
What do you remember about him? What's the biggest challenge that he presents you?
He's just a really, really slick player. He's got a great lacrosse IQ. I played with him over the summer on the under 19 team, and he's just a very slick and knowledgeable offensive player.
Where are you right now academically? Are you all done? Is this week reserved for lacrosse only?
We are done with our spring semester, but myself and a bunch of other guys, we have summer classes starting up on Wednesday.
Wow.
Tomorrow, actually.
Wow, wow. So that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
How many classes will you take over the summer?
The Mac, I'm taking two. A bunch of other guys, they'll be taking one or maybe possibly two, depending on what they're feeling like.
Duke's defense, watching you guys this spring, there have been moments where you guys look really, really good, and there's some other moments where it looks like things are a challenge. What's the critical element for you guys to play well as a defensive unit?
I just think we need to be able to focus for an entire possession. Like you said, there's definitely moments where we look great, and defensively, I think we're like right there, but they're just momentary lapses of focus, and we just have like kind of brain farts at times.
What's the mindset got to be of this Duke team as you guys take the field 2:30 on Sunday?
Just leave it all out on the field. Like last week, we're playing like it's our last game, and we're just fighting for another week to play with each other, to hang with each other.
Kyle, appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy summer school, man. That's tough. Going right back at it on Wednesday, and we'll see you this weekend in Indianapolis.
All right.
Sunday, Lucas Oil Stadium, 2:30, Duke Notre Dame. It's the quarterfinals NCAA tournament. We welcome in John Kemp, Notre Dame goalie, fresh from a film session. John, what were you breaking down this morning?
We were actually watching the first game of the year against Duke. We watched the first half, and we're kind of just getting familiar with them again. Obviously, we've played them a lot, I guess, over my 4 years. So we're kind of just getting familiar with them again and kind of looking at their personnel and kind of seeing what we need to do to be able to get the win this weekend.
Wow, dust it off. It's like an archaeological dig. Could you actually see the game with the snowdrops falling?
Yes, it was kind of hard to see on the film, but we saw the most important parts of the game. So we saw some things that we need to improve, and then obviously we're looking at things that they're doing. So we're kind of just preparing for this weekend.
There's a lot of tape available on Duke. They've been on our air a lot. I'm sure you guys have all the coaches' film. What's your mentality in terms of watching tape? You watch a lot. You watch a little. You like to see maybe some guys you haven't seen. How do you approach the whole scouting business?
Well, we'll get the write up in the beginning of the week, and then either before practice or after practice, we'll sit down for 30 to 45 minutes and kind of just, we sometimes just watch them play, whether that's a first half of a game, first quarter, maybe a fourth quarter. And then we also do some clip type plays, that kind of shows what they're all about. So the coaches do a great job in trying to prepare us, in the classroom, so to speak. So, they do, a great job kind of showing and kind of highlighting what they're all about and kind of giving us an idea of what to expect.
There was a lot less film available when I played. I remember one time we had an assistant coach all week would tell me, hey, this guy will drop a stick low to low, drop a stick low to low on extra man. Okay, there they are, 3-3, he's up top. He drops his stick, I match up, I drop down low, boom, he lifts it top shelf, the ball's in the corner. I turn to the coach, I'm like, never again. I learned the lesson. I got to trust my eyes. I got to trust my opinion. I can't trust your scouting report. I'm sorry. It's just the way I deal with it. Yeah, you have a similar situation.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a kind of a mentality that you got to go in that you'll go in and prepare and kind of have an idea of what they're going to do. But once you get on the field, it's kind of I guess, that mental preparation along with kind of your instincts on the field. So it's something to help you prepare, but on the fly, you kind of need to react in a way that you can as a player and kind of take what you've learned throughout the season and not really, I guess, use that preparation, to, so to speak, for, I guess, like a first instinct type of thing. You just need to use the skills that you've accumulated over the year and over the years you've been playing lacrosse. So you can use it, I guess, a little bit, but in the end, it just comes down to being a player.
What are your expectations for Lucas Oil Stadium, kind of going to a new venue?
I mean, it should be a lot of fun. We, as a team, we've played in a lot of NFL stadiums since I've been here. We played in the Ravens, Jaguars. We played in the Broncos stadium earlier this year. So I think the atmosphere is something that we're definitely, we've done before, and we're kind of expecting kind of the same atmosphere. But at the same time, I think we're going in, treating it as a business trip. We're definitely, excited to play Duke, having kind of accumulated and kind of developed that rivalry that we've kind of, developed, over the past few years. So, they're a good team. They've definitely improved since the beginning of the year. So we're definitely expecting their best, and we're going to be ready to play.
You can follow John Kemp at JohnKemp101 on Twitter. I got to ask you a couple questions. There are some programs that don't let their players tweet. You guys are allowed. What's that fine balance that you have to find between entertainment and not crossing the wrong line or giving another team a competitive edge? How do you stay so active on Twitter without screwing up?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to keep in mind that there's a lot of people watching you. I think being an athlete, especially at a school like Notre Dame, I think you're kind of in the spotlight. And there's definitely, I think there's people within the university that kind of keep an eye on stuff. And I know Coach Burns all over the Twitter, so I think he keeps an eye on everything. So if there's something that kind of comes out that is kind of a little inappropriate, it's definitely relayed to anyone on the team. But I think everyone's just got to stay smart and kind of think about things before they send it out, because I mean, nowadays the internet's so widely used, and I guess basically everyone's kind of looking at your every move to kind of look at something that you may have done wrong. So it's definitely something that it's good to be able to kind of communicate with everyone and kind of let everyone know how you're feeling, but at the same time, it's definitely an opportunity to kind of set yourself up for something bad.
Are you guys all done with school now?
Yeah, we finished exams on Friday, so we're pretty much done and kind of lacrosse only right now.
That's good. It looked like the exams took their toll both on your preparation last week. I know it was not a normal week, and then getting off to a slow start in that ball game. Turning the corner, putting that one in the rearview mirror, it was kind of a difficult assignment for you guys. How can you guys kind of start anew and start fresh? What's the mindset, coming off of that game, which, I mean, quite honestly, I, other than the fourth quarter, was very forgettable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we definitely have to look back at the game and learn from our mistakes. I think offensively, first half, we didn't really do what we wanted to do. And then going into the second half, we were able to put some pressure on them and cause some turnovers and I guess develop some transition game. But I think that the mentality going into the next game is just that we're playing another game where we have one more week to play. And we're playing against a team that's ended our season two of the last 3 years. So I think that the mentality going into it is one that, I guess is very motivating. I guess obviously I think Detroit had a great game on Saturday. Hats off to them. I think they came in and did what they had to do to be able to beat us. I think going into the fourth quarter, I think the mentality that we had was that, I guess, the season would be over if we didn't really step up. So I think guys kind of took that to heart and didn't really want to end the season the way it would have.
John, last thing. When you step out on the field, shake hands, and go in the crease, and over the course of a game, what's your self talk like? What are you kind of keeping in your mind? How do you maintain the poise that we see you play with?
I mean, I think it's just the focus that I like to have throughout the game. And definitely being a calm presence on the defensive side, I think, is something that helps everyone else out at the same time, as well as helping me at the same time. I think that the mentality of I gave up a goal, and moving on to that next one, I guess learning from it, I guess, in the first minute or so after the goal, but then once going forward, kind of use it and kind of keep in mind where these guys are shooting, but at the same time using my natural instincts to stop the ball. I guess that poise mentality that you've talked about and a lot of people have talked about that I have on the field, is something that I definitely take pride in. I think it's just my natural instinct to kind of show myself in a way that kind of helps everyone else out at the same time. Obviously, my first job is to stop the ball, and I think being calm and poised is the best way to kind of approach that.
Yeah, maintaining that focus. I always found that I had to be more intense get all over my defense, not in the big games, because they were ratcheted mm-hmm. up. They were ready to play those big games. They were too excited in those games, but they weren't excited mm-hmm. enough in some of the lesser games. So it was kind of like a fine balance you had to find and kind of reading the defense. What's going to work best right now? Should I get after this guy, or should I pat him on mm-hmm. the back and tell him everything's going to be fine? So it was kind of a feel thing, I guess.
Yeah, there's definitely an approach that a goalie has to take to kind of look at your surroundings and analyze what you think would be best for the team. So there's definitely some decision making, both playing and I think mentally, that's very important for the team on the defensive side.
John, have a great week of preparation. We'll see you out on Sunday. Keep it rolling. You're doing a great job. And the Fighting Irish continue to enjoy watching them play. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Clint.
Hope you enjoyed this edition of the ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast. As you approach the quarterfinal games this week, be sure to log on to InsideLacrosse.com. I'll have a Friday column up. Terry Foy's got all sorts of features and anonymous scouting reports where coaches don't sign their work. Heading down to College Park on Friday for practice. We'll be in Indianapolis on late Saturday night, getting ready for the doubleheader on Sunday. You can watch the action ESPN2 and ESPNU. Enjoy the game.
Thanks for downloading the ESPNU Lacrosse Podcast. For more great shows, be sure to check out the Pod Center page at ESPNRadio.com.